Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3, selección varía por tienda, solo en tiendas selectas, hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
Let's freaking go, LSU fans. We have got another national championship. I'm looking at whoever you are watching this. If it's live, if it's down the road, pat yourself on the back. I know it's probably not a sport that you care as much about as football or basketball or baseball, but it is another national champion of a program that had been on the precipice so many times, and they finally break through. Think of LSU gymnastics as, like, let's say the Dallas Mavericks. They've always been very, very, very good. They only have now one national championship or one world championship, but they're amongst the top 5 to 10 gymnastics programs in the country. So I say all of that because it took years upon years upon years of building the program all the way back to DD Bro and now with Jay Clark. So shout out to Haley Bryant, KJ Johnson, and Livy Dunn, the whole crew. They get it done. Let's freaking go. We'll talk more about that tonight. Now, first things first, this just broke. I've been working the phones, and Philip Bleedy has decided to go to Auburn. Okay. Auburn. Huge loss for LSU. Now, the good news is LSU does not play Auburn this year. The bad news is LSU's defensive tackle room is still where it is, and it's unacceptable. So, Philip is someone I actually spoke to during the recruiting process. I referenced it a few times, and, you know, I kept up with his recruitment. He reached out to me over one of the videos that I did to on him, and I appreciate that. Obviously, I don't mind if current or former players watch the channel, and, you know, I'm not going to say I wish him nothing but the best because I wanted him to pick LSU, but I wish all of his dreams do come true. And the Bleedy family has actually been watching my channel. So that's obviously cool, but I am hurt because I do think he's a good football player. And I do think he is somebody that can help our defensive tackle room get better. Now, are there other DTs out there? Yeah, the Michigan State transfer is someone that I am looking forward to watching. I've not had a chance to watch him. I've had a very busy weekend, had a wedding to DJ, but I've not been able to sit down and really grind his film. Pause. But he apparently is pretty good by all accounts. LSU does think he is very good, and they do have some visits coming up with him. CJ West is another name, albeit not from a Power 5 level that we talked about last week, the transfer from Kent State. But at this point, you know, with transfer portal players, this is how it was explained to me. When you're older and you play a premium position where everybody wants you, you could just go wherever you want to go, whoever is willing to pay, basically. And I'm not going to say that that was entirely the basis on Phillip's decision. I'm not going to say it's the entirety of anyone's decision, but it does move the needle, and it would move the needle for yourself as well, especially in a sport like football where you're not guaranteed tomorrow. So LSU is in a tough spot. They put some resources in to recruit him, and they obviously put some resources into learning about the program by watching a lowly YouTuber like myself. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where LSU goes next. It was also very interesting, and this was kind of confusing to me a little bit earlier. LSU is still apparently interested in transfer portal wide receivers. There were a couple of wide receivers from Houston who have entered the portal. And here's what I'll say about this. I haven't heard too much from the LSU football side of things. I have just heard that there is interest. Now, this is very important to understand. If there is interest when it comes to recruiting, it could be floated out there that it's interest from one side of the equation. Okay. So I truly think it's important to, you know, really think if LSU needs another transfer portal wide receiver. I believe that they don't, even if a few others do enter the portal this week. That may or may not surprise you, but I'm just throwing it out there that it is very, very interesting that a wide receiver is someone that LSU is interested in. It seems like they are pretty deep right there, but I could be mistaken. I really could. So there you go. We're going to get into some baseball and softball a little bit later. Obviously, you know, baseball gets a series win. Softball, we'll see what happens there with their College World Series potential run upcoming. I think this is college softball's year, and this could just be, you know, a golden period of LSU athletics, in particular on the women's side of things. But if I were to say one thing, the team that really needed to win the Natty was gymnastics. I mean, there has just been so much positive vibes around this team, even with athletes who don't even participate. You know, Libby Dunn is an international superstar, and, you know, she's not one of the key contributors, but her presence definitely increased the LSU brand and increased her brand, and it went a long way. I will also say this. The gymnastics hype video with Justin Jefferson and Flauge, top five hype video. I mean, it really was that good. It really, really, really was, okay? So, we shout out to TOV, Sherry Berry, Cliff, Chris. Don't forget, Super Chats are always welcome. I'll be seeing TJ here in a few weeks. Chance wants to talk about Williams, the DT, number 52 from TCU. So, we'll talk about all that, okay? So, there you go. Now, I want this to be known, all right? Whether it's LSU sports or just any sports, winning national championships, they're so hard. Gymnastics is probably the hardest to win a national championship in because there is no defense, right? You can't do anything about someone else's score. There's no real pressure you could put on anyone. All right. Yeah, there's pressure in knowing that if you fall off the beam, you're costing your team a national championship, but there's nothing you can do about that. There's no defense in gymnastics. So, you know, Chance made a good point a minute ago. There's only 10 teams that have won national titles in gymnastics. It's because it's a pretty self-contained sport. So, you know, with softball, you control your own destiny. Baseball, you control your own destiny. Football. Yeah, a bad call can cost you something, but you still control everything you can control. There's few sports that we truly care about in American society where, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. Golf is another one of those. So, you know, the bottom line is LSU gymnastics deserved this. Now, I know a few gym rats that could be watching this right now that would say, hey, Carter, Oklahoma would have won it all if they had been there. And to that, I say probably so. But who cares? They weren't there. Sometimes it comes down to getting lucky. And there is a bit of luck in every national championship that has ever been won in the history of time. LSU Gymnastics was one of the best programs. You know, I saw some stats yesterday that statistically, they had one of the higher scores of any NCAA champion. So shout out to them. I wasn't able to watch it. Once I got news of it, though, I did a little dance video. You could see it on Twitter at Power Hour LSU. So There you go. Now, yes, gym rats. It's cool. It's cool. Yeah, we do. Now, once again, Haley Bryant might not smoke a cigar, but we do need the Haley Bryant cigar smoking photo. Is she the best gymnast of all time at LSU? I'm not even going to attempt to answer that. Susan Jackson's in the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame. Ashley Claire Kearney is one of the best LSU athletes I've seen live. But sure, I'll roll with it. Haley Bryant, the GOAT LSU gymnast. So since 2019, you've seen Joe Burrow. You've seen Jaden Daniels. You've seen Angel Reese. Now you've seen Haley Bryant. You've seen Dylan Cruz, Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens is absolutely killing it. Right now, we are big Paul Skeens fans here on PHL. So there you go. Now, don't forget, if you super chat, we're giving out something big today. $50 super chat, you're getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire PSA 10 rookie card in an LSU uniform. One of my favorite cards. I'm looking to give it out, though, today. $50 super chat gets it. $20 super chat will get you an LSU autograph card. And please, because it is the offseason, your boy is heavily reliant on your donations. I say thanks to each and every one of you for making this dream come true for me. Okay? Now, I want to chat a little bit here. Okay, just a little bit about LSU's recruiting in the transfer portal. Okay. We have got to start landing some of these guys. We just do. All right. And by the way, for the poll question, I'm not saying who the best, I'm not asking for who had the best, who's the best athlete or which sport has the best athleticism, because gymnastics is definitely up there. Angel Reese, SEC Player of the Year, getting 0%. Very interesting. I'm a football channel, so Jaden Daniels is probably going to win. So let's see. All right, let's mix this up with the poll question. How about this? That's all right. This should draw, not pronounce. All right. Poll question is updated for, and this is not who you think is the best, like in terms of athlete, like size, speed, all that stuff, or what is the toughest to do. Because I think gymnastics would probably win, being the toughest to do. But especially Haley Bryant, who is an all-around gymnast. That's definitely probably the hardest to do out of any sport at LSU. I would never hit a Paul Skeens fastball. But that's a slippery slope argument. Who's having the best year? Okay. So is it Taylor Pleasance, Angel Reese, Haley Bryant, or is it other? The poll question is updated. So Jaden's going to win. We're a football channel, so let's mix it up. Now, I want to get into recruiting. All right. High school recruiting for LSU is doing really well. Okay. We just interviewed the best recruit in the history of LSU football ever. It's going to be hard to beat out Bryce Underwood. He's the number one consensus national player. That is something we have not really done since Leonard Fournette, getting the number one consensus national player. Now, we've got another top five guys like Derek Stingley, but the poll, the national number one recruit is tough to get because they can basically go wherever they want. DeCorian Moore did some really good things at track and field over the weekend. He's a five-star wide receiver. Harlan Berry. You just got JT Lindsey not too long ago. You're doing a really good job recruiting high school recruits. All right. So What do we do now? Well, we got to start recruiting the transfer portal better. All right. We've done a really, really, really good job of getting transfer portal players who have some ability, some upside, four-star Louisiana natives. And I like that. LSU was a dream school. They may not have been recruited by LSU as hard the first time around, and they went somewhere else, didn't work out, come back to LSU, play for the home state school, and it might work out. But it is hard to get proven guys. Now, wide receiver, we got Xavion Thomas, we got CJ Daniels. That's why I find it a little bit interesting that there are rumors that LSU is interested in a few of these Houston wide receivers. But outside of that, we'll see if Jordan Gilbert pays out. We'll see if, obviously, Osbury pans out. We've got to do a better job of getting some proven guys in that can move the needle. All right. And I think the issue that LSU is having with going to recruit proven guys is we have not had some of these proven guys translate. We have been burned, okay? Omar Spates didn't work out, all right? He was not good at all, okay? There have been some other transfer portal defensive players that weren't as good as our first transfer portal defensive player class with Jerick Bernard Converse, Joe Fouché. And could it be that our defense was just better that year? Yeah, I mean, we had B.J. Ojulari on that defense. Jaquelin Roy was on that defense. And while he didn't have as good of a year, his final year like he did the year before, he was still a good player. All right. Whether it's spending or changing things up, because LSU's got great recruiters. We've got to get someone else on defense. And I don't mean to say someone else. We've got to get someone else. All right. We've got to spend, all right? How are we do that is up for debate, all right? So I understand the transfer portal is a very frustrating animal, and it really is so wild that for the last week and a half. And once again, if you're just now joining us, I shared that I did have some contact with Philip Blitty. I still don't know how to say his last name. And his family watched my channel. All right. It is interesting how different their recruitment is, right? And I understand it's random for SEC fans to be basically salivating, over a good but not elite defensive tackle prospect from Indiana. But that's how it works. He's more proven than, you know, some defensive tackles that come out of high school. Okay? So we've got to do a better job of getting some of these guys in the purple and gold, right? Bo Davis is a really good defensive tackle coach. He's got two guys that'll get selected, all right, in the NFL draft that weren't of the highest recruiting pedigree. All right. But you got to get those guys. And right now we just do not have those guys. All right. We just don't. All right. Let's go to Boris, $22.22. Some offseason Kyron Lacy number two support who called it in December. KL is going to be epic in the fall. Fingers crossed for some defense catching fire too. There you go, Boris. Welcome, my friend. So once again, Boris is halfway there. If we get up to anybody gets up to $50 in super chat, you get my favorite Clyde Edwards-Helaire card. Hey, he's number 22 as well. PSA 10. rookie card. We're halfway there. For some defense catching fire, too. Now, I will give Boris some credit. He did call Kyron Lacy being a great LSU Tiger wide receiver. Look, Red, what's up? I got to be real, man. Kyron is solid in my top five players on the team, regardless of position. And I think there's a little bit of a bigger gap between him and everyone else on the team at wide receiver right now than we would like to admit. He's really freaking good. He is really, really freaking good. And it's amazing that, like, a lot of the NFL community has said, hey, you know, BTJ, Jaden, and Malik are all deserving first-round picks, but they're already mocking Kyron Lacy in the first round for next year. SEC lost a lot of really good wide receivers. Okay, if you want to throw in the Texas guys, that makes sense as well. You know, McConkey, all those guys. But wide receiver is a position. Now with the rise of 7-on-7, it's kind of hard to not have a good one now. It's more of a rarity that you don't have someone than you do, if that makes sense, right? I mean, Vanderbilt had a receiver transfer to Colorado and the other transfer to Georgia. That's Vanderbilt, okay? So where does Kyron Lacy rank in the SEC wide receiver tiers? You know, Trey Harris is probably number one for me. Barry and Brown at Kentucky is pretty underrated. I think Wilson at Florida is interesting, number three. But Kyron is definitely up there. He's definitely top five in the SEC, and he is a real deal. Now, as far as some defensive luck, okay, we do need that. And Boris, hopefully your super chat does put some good luck out there for LSU, okay? Now, Christian says Bo Davis is not a great recruiter. I wouldn't argue with Sibley about that. I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, it's so early in his LSU tenure to say he's a good or bad recruiter. I mean, what he got Colin Simmons to Texas. I mean, I guess that's something. I'm not sure if he was Colin's primary recruiter. But it's still pretty good, if you ask me. Let me look. I haven't looked at this in a while. Okay. Oh man, you, as I expect, you're pretty wrong. I didn't know. Okay, he was a primary for Deron Payne. Okay, he's kind of good. Kendall Sheffield's in the NFL. Shiro Davis, he got out of Louisiana to Texas many years ago. Quentin Williams, he's kind of good. He was a primary on Jalen Hurts, not even a position. Yeah, I thought you were very wrong on this, and you were indeed very wrong. Now, I guess you could make the argument that, well, he was only a good recruiter at Alabama. Okay. I don't still agree with that. I would also push back on this. His development is pretty elite. You know, Damian Square wasn't a highly rated guy. Damian Square was a really good defensive tackle at Alabama, or defensive end. He recruited Terrence Mount Cody. Okay, forgot about that guy. Pretty good player. So, yeah, I mean, Raekwon Davis, yeah. Terrell Lewis from my old neck of the woods. So, He was only a good recruiter in Alabama, of course. But that doesn't make any sense. Are you saying that he's only a good recruiter when he's at an elite school? Well, that just goes along with what I've said from the get-go. Schools recruit, not the coaches. I think we, for so long, have overrated individual coaches when it comes to recruiting. Okay. Now, there are some coaches that have such a ridiculous track record of recruiting where, yeah, I mean, that guy is truly a plus recruiter. So it's like someone like Frank Wilson. Frank Wilson is an unreal plus recruiter. Now, does it help that he's at LSU, a top five school? Yeah. Does it help? He's from New Orleans? Yes. But he is still transcendently good at recruiting. I mean, I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But the school helps out as much as he does. But that's the case with any college football coach that's existed. That's why Brian Kelly went to LSU. You know, like, I don't think you can just do that argument. That's why, like, for me, the question that a lot of people think of when it comes to any individual coach, is he a good recruiter? And pretty much every coach until that has existed, that is a non-coordinator, people have said he's a good recruiter. Every single one. Every single one. Yeah, I mean, look, here's what I'll say about Bo Davis, all right? I'd love to get him on the channel. He is a self-proclaimed old-school guy. $1.25 million is a lot of money to pay any football coach. That's a lot of money to pay a group of five head coach, okay? I understand being a defensive tackles coach, that is a lot of money to pay an individual per season. So there's going to be a lot of pressure. And he's got to build a defensive tackle room that was once the best in America. Kyle Williams, Chad Lavallee, Glenn Dorsey, those guys. Ricky Jean. But you're not right, Christian. You're not. I mean, you're just not. Like, this is not a right or wrong thing. It's one of those things where you just got to let it play out. I don't think you can recruit Deron Payne and say, You can't recruit Payne, the Alabama defensive tackle, and say he's a bad recruiter. Can't recruit Terrence Mount Cody. Okay. But look, we got to be ready. We got to be ready to pay up for this, for the next DT, whoever it may be. And I do think it is fair to assume that every single defensive tackle that we are recruiting is asking for a large sum of money. All right. Now, Big Al's in here. Okay. Lance, watching on Facebook. I appreciate you, Lance. Van, Sherry, Todd, JSB, TOV. Haley Bryant, that has such a good ring to it. And for those that don't know, that's also my wife's name. So, my poll question answer, for those that are wondering. Haley Bryant's also my poll question answer. And she's running away with the poll. And deservingly so. Deservingly so. But my favorite gymnast of all time, Susan Jackson, Ashley Claire Kearney. Those are my top two. Oof. TP, what's good, bro? Tommy, what's up, man? The pools always make PHL better. Okay. Now. I've pretty much touched on everything I wanted to touch on. In the first 30 minutes. Normally I have a 30-minute thing and then I have other topics. I normally try to keep it a tight 30. Kind of got sidetracked here. One final thing I want to get to, all right? And then we'll get to your comments. And obviously, if you're a super chatter, we'll go to whichever topic you want to get to. One interesting player hit the portal, and it was Ryan Yates. Okay, Ryan Yates, really talented safety. Played at a really good program in Geyer, Texas, okay? So for those that live in Texas, James being one of them, you guys know the Geyer program, and they're really, really, really good, okay? And I take my prospect evaluations very, very, very seriously, okay? And it's not really anything ever personal. If I have a player whose grade isn't as high as others, okay? So, for those who want to see my high school grades for everybody, well, I'll say this, the early enrollees, all right, the fall enrollees will come out in the next month or so, all right? Geyer's in Denton, not Geyer, Texas, okay. Is there a Geyer, Texas? Whatever. So, for me, I watched a good bit of Ryan Yates because I was kind of in the middle when I was evaluating him. He's a corner in high school who I thought was a safety, and he was playing out of position. And he was a pretty fairly highly rated 4-star, if I'm not mistaken. And he had about a 3-star grade from me. I didn't think he was bad per se. I don't think anyone really that LSU recruits is bad, but there's two players, all right, with my grading system that I didn't have as high a grade on, and that was Jaylen Brown and Ryan Yates. Those are the two players that I didn't think stack up compared to consensus. So Jaylen Brown was a top 100 guy, and Ryan Yates was like a top 250, top 300, something like that guy. And, you know, I want to be wrong. I want to be proven wrong. I want every player to be 5-star caliber players. But I would like to think that I've been pretty accurate with some of my predictions. So if you want, please go sign up for Patreon. You get every single grade on every single player. Patreon.com/LSU football. And this is just their high school grades. All right. I try to get them out before they ever play a down of football when they get to LSU. And there's a lot of things that go into it, right? And your recruiting grade actually goes into my grade because a consensus view of every prospect is better than one person's view. So that's just a part of it. But yeah, you know, like one guy that I think in this last cycle who I liked a lot was PJ Woodland. But everyone thought PJ Woodland was going to be good. So he's got a pretty good grade for me, probably a higher tier 4-star grade, even though he was a 3-star recruit. One player I'm very interested to see, and this is one that, you know, I'm worried about, because normally these recruits are tougher to play for a Brian Kelly coach team, and that's Kari Lee, 3-star offensive lineman out of New Orleans. I think he's got some ability. I really do think so. The reason why it's going to be so hard to play offensive line for Brian Kelly is the standard of playing offensive line at LSU has gone up. All right, with how good we've recruited and just the sheer volume. Okay. But yeah, so I wasn't really shocked that Ryan Yates got passed up during the spring. And part of that, and part of the grade, it's a small portion of it, is where do I see you fitting with the within the LSU hierarchy of things. So Ryan Yates, I thought Kylan Jackson was a better football player than him coming out. And that's just it. They're both safeties, right? So I think Ryan could still be an SEC level contributor. And we'll see if it works out. I wish him nothing but the best. He made a huge play in the Ole Miss game, though. I'll never forget that. Fourth down, he was the unblocked blitzer. So that's a play you would expect, a player to make. But he made it, and I'll never forget him for that. It was a big play, even though we ended up losing the game. So Ryan Yates is gone, and Jeremiah Hughes is gone. I hate that. I really like Jeremiah Hughes. Obviously the Hughes family was a big part of what we're doing here at PHL, and Nikki and the family will still tune in. It's really hard to play DB at LSU. It really is. Coming in from Vegas, even though his family's based in Arkansas, I could see him at the University of Arkansas pretty soon. Hughes, I was kind of in the middle on as a player. I thought he would be a really good special teamer. I heard good things about his work ethic. I was actually able to bump into him in Baton Rouge. And we'll see where he's going to go. I like Yates. I think he could be a pretty good Power 5 starter. But there you go. So I really try my hardest to dive as deep as I possibly can into their high school film, past athletic scores, athletic testing, LSU historical data, college football historical data. So these grades take a long time to do. So that's why you should join our Patreon. All it is $7.77 a month, okay? And $9.99 a month gets you access to our Discord. So please sign up now. It's a good way to support, okay? Boris keeps it going with the Supers, okay? He is at 25-25 in Supers, okay? Bama crash and burn this fall. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, you did my laugh, too. I like that. You're the first person that ever did that. Ha, ha, ha. So, Boris, one more $25 super chat. This Clyde Edwards-Helaire card is yours. But will Bama crash and burn this fall? Yeah, so like us, Bama is losing a lot. Like, they lost Nick Saban, of course. They also just lost a lot of really good players to the NFL draft and the portal. Right, Caleb Downs goes to Ohio State, and then Terrion Arnold, Kool-Aid McKinstry at corner. Their two best pass rushers are gone. Dallas Turner, Chris Braswell. Caleb Downs, like we just mentioned. So arguably, their five best defensive players are gone. They lost Justin Ibigui or something like that, another good defensive end. Wore the number 92, like Damian Square. We talked about Damian Square earlier. They're gone, okay? Offensively, they do return Jalen Milroe, but Amari Nyblack had a good spring game for Texas. Isaiah Bond had a really good spring game for Texas. But obviously, with a brand new coaching staff and brand new offensive identity, it's a bunch of new faces for Alabama. They'll probably be an eight or nine win team this next year, okay? But could they crash and burn? Absolutely. You know, I've not had a chance to watch their spring game just yet, but I do feel a little bit better about Alabama knowing that Ryan Grubb was not their offensive coordinator, and he ended up going to the Seahawks. I think that was a minor win for the rest of the SEC, because I do think Ryan Grubb is a really good play caller. I also think some of those transfers from Washington could play. That one offensive guard they got is pretty good. So it's either a guard or a tackle. Don't remember. There you go. I'm going to play this real quick. Okay. I haven't listened to this. This actually got sent to me from one of you. Let me see. This is from Michael. Okay. So this is an NFL evaluator, Charles Davis, okay, who compared Malik Nabers to someone you should never compare an athlete to.
The talent, no question about it. We've seen that. That part is there. I think in the last couple of years, he's added something to his game, and that's a little bit of that polish. Because, Ari, you watched him on tape. You've watched him in person. He runs every route like it's personal, okay? And I love that part about him. But he's also added that little – down in Baton Rouge, New Orleans area, they call it lanyap, that little bit on it on top, that little extra. So it's not just powerful. It's not just an angry route. It's everything else with a little bit of extra style to it now. And one other thing, he's Michael Jordan-esque in this way. He thinks everything is a slight if you're not putting him at the top of the list. The Biletnikoff Award went against him, ticked him off. We talk about Marvin Harrison Jr., ticks him off. We say Brian Thomas Jr. on his own team may have another level to go to, ticks him off. I'm counting on that. All that anger being fueled by some really great play, and whoever gets him, they should be thrilled. Could the Giants get him at 6? And maybe start to unlock Daniel Jones. That could be a possibility for him when I sit there and analyze everything that he does.
Charles Davis. Michael Jordan-esque. Now, you should never, ever compare someone to Michael Jordan. That's just something you shouldn't do. But he said esque. So I could deal with that, right? I will tell you this. Malik Nabers is going to be so good in the NFL. He could be even better than what he was in college. And I know that doesn't make sense, but it's possible. Okay. I do believe Malik is that special. I really, really, really do believe it. I also think, when it comes to the NFL draft, I just don't think landing spot is going to matter. I think he's so good, it'll be a situation where he's still going to be able to produce. I don't think you could put him in a box, right? If an offensive coordinator is competent and he has decent QB play, he's golden. Now, you see James talking about taking Malik Nabers in his fantasy football draft. Well, guess what? You can do that. Underdog Fantasy, underdogfantasy.com. Please go sign up. Use my promo code Carter. You get a deposit match bonus up to $100. And there you go. And you could draft Malik Nabers right now in the 30s. Okay. So if you think like me, Malik Nabers is going to come out, catch 70 balls next year, 7 or 8 touchdowns as a rookie. Well, guess what? He's being drafted in the 30s right now. So Davante Adams is being selected ahead of him. Cooper Kupp is around that range. Zay Flowers is around that range. Okay, if you think he's better than that, they have Michael Pittman for sure is ahead of him. Deebo Samuel's ahead of him. Brandon Ayuk is ahead of him. If you think Malik is that guy, go to Underdog Fantasy and draft him. $3 drafts right now. The winner gets $15,000. Underdog Fantasy. Underdogfantasy.com. Okay. And Boris says, Malik, Chargers would be a good fit. Seems like the Chargers are going off at the lineman there. I also think the Bears at number 9 would be very interesting. Atlanta's at 8. I don't think Atlanta's going to take another receiver. They've spent so much first-round draft capital on offense, I think they're going to go defense, especially with the defensive head coach. Could the Jets at 10? Jets at 10 would make a lot of sense. They need a number 2 receiver, and Garrett Wilson's really good. They're actually very similar players in many ways. I think Malik is better than Garrett Wilson right now. So, Aaron Rodgers, obviously they need to win now. Jets, not the best, most fantasy-friendly weather and just offensive environment. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. Michael Jordan-esque. Tyler, what's good? See, I got a message coming in from Instagram, and this is from Dan. Okay. Welcome, Dan, to the channel. He said he couldn't figure out how to comment on here, so he sent me an Instagram request. I was able to see it. And he said, what do you think happened to Jeremiah Hughes? I don't know. That's a good question, Dan. Just want a good fit. You got to understand. When your position coach leaves, a lot leaves with you, especially if you're an out-of-state recruit like he is. So that's basically it. And there was just other guys ahead of him. Also, something else that is relevant to this conversation is the COVID stuff, right? So, it does extend your playing career. Now, there's no like Rona recruits that were ahead of him, but this is something to keep in mind that this year is going to be one of the final years that COVID extra year of eligibility really extends your playing career, right? So we're starting to draw the end of it, where you lose out on a lot of these year 6 guys. And look, we have been a huge beneficiary of the COVID extra year of eligibility. Okay. And the reason why I bring that up is it does seem, and it could just be the portal, it could just be like this for a lot of schools, but LSU has been heavily bailed out by the COVID extra year of eligibility quite a bit of time. Right, quite a few times. I know Danny Girl's watching. We had a bunch of endless complaints, and myself included, but we appreciate how hard this guy played. But Liam Shanahan, right, really saved us at center, because we could not develop a backup center to save our life. And he wasn't even a center, right? He just had to play it because we needed somebody to play it. He played his ass off. Now, was he good? No. But if I were to see him, I'd shake his hand saying, you stuck in there. You took some of the most brutal, brutal, brutal hits I have ever seen at center. And he played with some really rocky quarterbacks. Lots of true freshmen. Ivy League football to Division I Power 5 LSU football. Offensive tackle to center. And because he had that extra year of eligibility, he really saved us in many ways, because we didn't have anyone else apparently that could play center. And obviously Austin Deculus was someone else that had that extra year, right? There's been a lot of guys that have had that extra year that have really pushed us forward, Jaden Daniels being one of them. So we really, really, really need to start examining how do we build better depth? How do we recruit better? How do we get the high school recruiting better to where we're not only evaluating guys, we're getting quality depth guys as well. Now, don't forget, please, if it is in your heart's desire, powerhourlsu.com/shop. Look at the merch. Who doesn't want a PHL shirt? Only $30. You get the Rock, the best LSU YouTube brand on the planet. powerhourlsu.com/shop. And for just today, okay, I had something. For just today, if you get two pieces of PHL merch, I'm sending you a Joe Burrow card. powerlsu.com/shop. Okay. There you go, Jermaine. I don't know where that shirt came from. It was actually given to me. And I'll never be able to wear it again because Bryce Underwood signed it. And I don't want to mess up the signature. But you can get some of my merch, which is, I think, better. I'm kidding. That shirt is pretty awesome. But powerlsu.com/shop. Hey, Carter, I'm not going to lie to you. I watched Bear Alexander's highlights. That's a first-round pick, and I think DJ Chester's got his work cut out for him. Oh, you think Bear Alexander is better than Fabian Lovett? Hard disagree. Brian, there's few players. Because, you know, for me, I do deep breakdowns of every team that LSU plays. There are few players who are less appreciated, despite being a mother effing dude, than Fabian Lovett. I would put, if Fabian Lovett played at LSU, he would be in that next tier behind Dorsey and Lavallee and Williams for me. He is so good. Fabian Lovett is so good. I don't think Bear Alexander is that good. I think he's talented. Obviously, he's a five-star recruit. But he doesn't have the motor. He doesn't have the toughness. He doesn't have the brute strength. Fabian Lovett is a single-digit, bare-handed defensive tackle. That wore number zero. Now, the reason why Fabian Lovett is not as appreciated is because he was hurt. He's got hurt. But if you take a look at the when he's healthy, and look, he played on the defensive line with Braden Fisk and Jared Versey. He had talented players around him. But he's good. Fabian Love is good. That still doesn't take away your major point, though. Bear Alexander's good. And DJ Chester's first game going up against USC is tough. It's going to be really, really, really tough. That's a tough draw for your first game. Okay. We got a Texas A&M versus Ole Miss debate. Yeah, so of course Lane Kiffin's a better coach than Jimbo, right? Jimbo obviously is more accomplished, but still, the difference is Jimbo just had more talent. Now, Lane's team this next year they're as talented as any A&M team. I think Ole Miss has a chance to be very, very, very good. And I am believing the hype for now. Okay. You know, for me, I don't think Lane Kiffin is someone who can't win a national championship. He's got a DC on his staff that's won one with Saban. you know, their trenches are going to be a lot better led by Walter Nolan. And they've really put the foot on the gas pedal to go try and win it this year. I do like how the schedule sets up for us. So I really, really, really do. We get a bye week before them and they don't before us. And they got to come to our building. So I'm not too worried about Ole Miss from our perspective, but I do think they'll be pretty good. Let's go to Danny. So once again, I'll say this about the Houston wide receivers. You know, it really came out today that there was interest. I wasn't able to confirm if the interest is like fully there for LSU. I like to think that there is. So there's multiple wide receivers from Houston. And Brown, I think C.J. Brown is his name, is he more accomplished of the two. I could be totally wrong. Once again, wasn't able to really look into this or watch them. Could it be true, though, that our wide receiver depth isn't as good as we like to think that it is? Maybe so. But for me, I think on every Division I Power 5 team, I don't have injury data in front of me. I don't think wide receivers get hurt at the same caliber as your other offensive players. That's just a theory that I have. I think you need five wide receivers. So 60% of offensive snaps are played in 11 personnel, which are three wide receiver sets. Okay. I'd say roughly 60 to 65-70%. So you need three wide receivers and two rotational guys. So about five to six wide receivers is what would make LSU comfortable. I normally believe the tighter your wide receiver rotation, the better off you are. So for me, I think Chris Hilton is good enough to be a Division I Power 5 performer for a full season. But you do have the injury concern. So that would concern me if I'm LSU. But if he's fully healthy, I think he could be a 30-catch guy next year, a 30, 40-catch guy, with Kyren being a 60, 70, 80 guy, somewhere around there. So I feel good about those two. I feel really good about Xavion Thomas. You know, I thought Brian Kelly's quote was interesting about him settling in. What that tells me is you could be a really, really, really prodigious talent like he is. You've got to be able to, you know, settle down and really learn the playbook and the nuances of the offense. Once he does, I think Xavion will be the number two wide receiver on our team. CJ Daniels is very interesting. Do I think CJ Daniels is going to be a good LSU wide receiver for us next year? Yes, I really do. I do. Do I think there is a piece of the fan base that is overreacted just a little bit? It might just be that he's a transfer wide receiver with the last name Daniels, because the last time we had a transfer last name Daniels, worked out pretty good. Maybe there is some overhype there. I do think he's good. All right. So that's four wide receivers. Okay. I think CJ will be good enough to play SEC football next year. So for right now, I feel like Kyren is pushing the line of being a special player. You know, going into last year, I felt BTJ was going to be very, very, very good. We did a 20-minute video on BTJ that showed a lot of the signs were there, even though his numbers weren't there, the yards per route run weren't there, and so on and so on and so on. Okay. I feel pretty good about those four. Now, for the others, Cal Parker, you know, wasn't really someone that really excited fans during the spring, but he did some things in the spring that I thought were really good. His block, he had a really good block in one of the scrimmage portions of practice. that we were able to see. I think Kyle Parker is a very interesting player. I would like to see him play more. Aaron Anderson is very, very, very interesting to me. This is a guy that I have been told repeatedly has taken a massive step forward during the spring. You know, I've always been kind of known as like not as big of a fan of Aaron as others. And look, you know, Brian is someone that actually went to Aaron Anderson's games and saw how special he was. I do think his injury concerns cost him a bit of his explosiveness. So, you know, he's not the biggest guy. I don't think he's one of these guys that is going to jump ball someone. Just because you're smaller doesn't mean you're not a good jump ball receiver. Steve Smith is the best ball tracker I've ever seen. But, and he was, what, 5'11"? So, you know, with Aaron, I do think the talent is there. Once again, he was a barely missed out on 5-star, so he was right there on the 5-star ranking. So he's a top 50 high school recruit. But I'm concerned. I am concerned as far as him being a reliably very good LSU wide receiver. Okay. So after that, it's interesting. Shelton Sampson is someone that I gave a really good high school grade on. It's not there yet. Right, there are times where he has dominated and made amazing plays in LSU's practice portion. Some that aren't available to the media, some that the media was able to witness, and some that has happened behind closed doors. You know, if you look at just a silhouette of a wide receiver, he fits the mold of a lot of lanky, explosive LSU wide receivers. Right, he looks like a Terrence Tolliver. He looks like Terrace Marshall at times. It's just not worked out up to this point for whatever reason. So it's tough. It's tough. So maybe LSU is trying to add some wide receivers into that room. Landon Ibiet has never been healthy. It doesn't look like that's changing. And I don't know what his future looks like. But I go back to this. The hardest position group to play in college football is wide receiver at LSU. You can make a case for wide receiver at Ohio State. Yeah, you could definitely make a case for them. Either one of those two. Because wide receiver is different than other positions. If you're a running back and you play a lot, more often you're the only running back on the field, you're going to get touches. That is not true at wide receiver. Just because you play does not mean you get touches. So there are two different levels that you have to clear to be a happy wide receiver. You not only have to be someone who plays, you have to be someone that gets targets, all right? And targets are not given, they are earned, all right? One thing I would say about Aaron Anderson, that has been something I've seen in – some portions of practice, and then I've seen on the field, you've got to run the right play, okay? Running the right play is critical. So versus Auburn, I believe he ran the wrong play on Jaden's interception in that game. Now, was that entirely on Aaron Anderson? No, Jalen Simpson, the safety he's going to play in the NFL, made one hell of a play on the football. So it wasn't just him, but he was blocking on a play that I don't think he should have been. Against Army, he ran a wrong play when Garrett Nussmeier was on the field. I think I saw in a practice portion where he ran the wrong play. So that's part of the battle, you know, is running the right play. Now, I could be totally wrong on that. Once again, these are just my best educated guesses. The only people that really know what you're supposed to do on a certain play are the people in that building. So I always say that. But, you know, that's part of it is getting that is getting the playbook down, doing what you're supposed to do, right? So, you know, for me, my wide receiver hierarchy is Kyren clear cut number one, huge gap. Then I'll put Xavier number two, and then tied for third right now for me is CJ and Chris, and with the edge to Chris, because he's got that number two position pretty much, I wouldn't say locked in, but, you know, the locker room's behind him, the coaching staff's behind him, so he's going to get a long leash to get that at number two wide receiver spot. And a good tiebreaker to always have in your back pocket is being what's called the clear out route, right? The clear out guy. So essentially put, a lot of pass plays in football play calling involves one person who is running a go or a post, something deep down the field. All right. So that player is often not a part of the progression, which is also known in football coaching communities as the clear out round. All right. There's different terms for it. So you're not really part of the progression. You're doing something to help the team win, though, by being the guy that's forcing a corner and safety to run with you to help open space. Okay. Now, as Pegasus astutely points out, could there be more tight end touches this next year? I believe Tre'Davious Green, even though he'll be known as a tight end, will be more characterized as a wide receiver when he gets here. All right. And then you have Kylan Billiot. And then you have Jelani Watkins, all right? Michael Turner is very interesting. I don't know what the plans are with him. He is so fast. Jelani Watkins might be the fastest player on the team. So you got two guys coming in that are really, really, really fast. Not like Olympic Trenton Holiday level fast, but really, really, really fast. And you know, as part of the battle of being a football player. But what if Jelani Watkins comes in and boom, he magically turns into Tyreek Hill? The speed is definitely there. I don't think that's going to happen, by the way. I think we'll may not ever see someone as good as Tyreek Hill or play like him. But a man can hope. That if he is that good, that gets us one extra victory next year at the very least. Oh, BT. Oh man, he's throwing the transcendent word. Transcendent. Now for me. I'm still very early in the fall enrollee grading cycle. I didn't give like a transcendent like grade. In fact, there's really only been two players that got transcendent grades when I've really started focusing in and doing like grades like on Patreon every prospect. And that was Emory Jones and Harold Perkins. There was only two. I think Tre'Davious is good. I do. Transcendent is a lot. Transcendent is a lot. Woo. I do think he can be very good, though. I do think he can be very good. Yeah, and now, yes, Eric Gilbert, definitely the best tight end prospect we've ever brought in. Definitely. Not the best tight end. And it worked out for us because Mason Taylor is a better football player. But in terms of prospecting, yes. And once again, even though it was up and down, in a COVID season, Eric Gilbert did catch 35 balls. And he did become a better blocker. Oh, so James was there. Jelani Watkins ran 10.2 100-meter dash. Whew. Now, look, if all 228 of you dropped a $2 super chat, that would make me very happy. 10.2 100 meters. flying. That is flying. Okay. Now, here's what you're going to do. In the next 10 to 15 minutes, I'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. But if you super chat, we'll keep this thing moving. Okay. We do want to watch my pals tonight. Jared, what's up, man? We're going to keep it moving. What's up, man? Yeah, Pegasus, here's the thing about the can he catch thing, all right? I'm not sure if catching is necessarily like the biggest thing I'm concerned with. Like, it's all the other things, right? Can you break tackles? Can you get out of an in cut? Are you just a straight line speed kind of guy? Like, that's why I think, and this is my theory about why the fastest 40-yard dash wide receivers in NFL history, all of them bust. Almost all of them bust. John Ross, all of them. Because there's more to being a wide receiver than just blasting. Julie, thank you so much. I'll check this out. All right, let me take a look at this. So Julie sent me the video of Jelani Watkins running. I'll play it if I can find it. Because this has become a Jelani Watkins stand channel. I'll show you this. This is more important than the... I couldn't find it in the Discord, but then again, I'm live right now. How about this, Julie? I found this one on Twitter. I remember watching this. All right, so 21.6 is flying, all right? So, once again, I don't know how accurate this GPS tracking is, but I do like recruiting analytics. I could watch your site all day. Look at that. That's insane. I'll play it one more time. Look at the cutback ability. Look at that. That's crazy. And this was back in 2021. Okay. Insane.
Insane. Jelani freaking Watkins.
What a dude. So that's the thing. You know, if LSU's going to get another transfer portal receiver, I would like to think one of three, Trey Des Green, Kylan Bilyeu, Jelani Watkins, that that could immediately help us next year. That's the thing. What about Watkins' start and stop ability? Hmm.
That was several days ago. Julian, my bad. I believe you. I guess I didn't see it. So Bullfrog says, Jelani Watkins has Xavier Worthy, JoJo Earl, Aaron Anderson, Chris Hilton, best in the 100-meter dash. That's true. But this would be my pushback. How many of these four guys are high-level players? And the answer is one of them. We'll see what Chris Hilton does this year. Completely side topic. I'm kind of in the middle on Xavier Worthy as an NFL draft prospect. That's someone that I've been very hesitant to click in underdog drafts because his ADP has gone up like 30 spots since the 40-yard dash time. I've still drafted him some, but you know, that's an expensive price, 30 slots ahead. That's a few rounds. And these are the guys that have moved up. All right, the guys that all tested well. So Ricky Pierce all tested well. Jalen Wright tested well. Xavier Worthy tested well. Those guys have flown up the draft boards. Yeah, Cortland, you missed out. Had some fun gymnastics talk a little bit earlier. Dude, what is going on in the NBA playoffs? All the home teams are just blowing the other team out. That's wild. That's absolutely wild. Bullfrog says we really fumble once, not twice on Trey Amos. Trey Amos rode the bench a lot last year. Now, granted, there's some really good players ahead of him. And he would probably start for us now. Oh, James. So this is what I'm asking you, James, man to man right now. Do you think Jelani Watkins is as good as Jalen Waddle? That's a tough sell for me. You know, Waddle was like a top 50 recruit. I guess I need to go back and look at their profiles. I mean, like, I say that now because, like, we know what Jalen Waddle is. Like, very good NFL draft prospect. Do you think the thing is about, like, being really, really, really fast is, like, I don't know if this is going to make a lot of sense, but you also need to be violent, right? Like, if you ever really, like, closely watch Justin Jefferson at LSU, like, he was really, really, really fast, but he was so violent after the catch. He broke a lot of tackles, not in the sense that you just run guys over, but he was really good at just – and it's not even, like, juking guys. It's just if you get an arm on him – And Justin Jefferson could juke people as Tanner Muse, But
if you get an arm on him, it's not enough. So
that's thing about Waddle. Waddle is like Jefferson. He is violent
after the catch. Very violent.
And he can plant and turn a corner.
But I'm asking James, who is super talented. We appreciate that. Do you think Jelani Watkins is as good as Jalen Waddle,
then we are cooking, bro. We are cooking. That's a lot. Alabama had a Heisman Trophy wide receiver. Jalen Waddle was still drafted ahead of him, coming off an injury.
And it's paid off for both teams, right? Watkins or Waddle's really good, and Devonta Smith's really good.
One of my best calls, one of my best prospect evaluation calls, is I had Jalen Waddle as the number one receiver over Jerry Jeudy, Devonta Smith, and Henry Ruggs. I was like, and once I saw all four of them, I was like, Waddle's going to be the best pro. Now, it's down to two, okay?
Unless Jerry Jeudy has a resurgence in Cleveland, I doubt it. I don't know if I ever see Henry Ruggs in the flesh again. So now it's down to Waddle and Devonta Smith. Waddle's got to stay healthy.
All right.
So James wouldn't just say it, but you're there. You're close. You're close. He says, I just know he's electric with the ball in his heads. Look,
James, here's what I would do. I if I were you as a commenter on PHL, you should just call your shot.
Like Boris did when you super chatted earlier. I do remember Boris saying, hey, Kyron Lacy's gonna be pretty good. But you should, James, just say, I think Jelani Watkins is going to be our version of Jalen Waddle. If it happens, guess what? You can come back and say, I remember on April 21st, the day after a national holiday, I went on Carter Bryant's show, Power Hour LSU, and I said that Jelani Watkins is going to be the next Jalen Waddle, one of the best SEC players. Okay?
Definitely one of the best Saban all-around skill guys, and that's saying a lot.
Once again, I want to shout her out again. Julie, thank you so much for the Venmo. It goes a long way. One of the only things that did not go my way the day of the spring game was not getting to see you there, so I'm sorry about that.
All right. You guys know at the end, I opened up personally to you guys. So,
yes, yesterday. So, I DJ'd a wedding, and this one was very hard. So, it was an outdoor wedding, and it just rained. Like, it rained all weekend. And it got so bad that, like, I had to actually back my car in to the tent that was right next to a lake. All right, so I went to Walmart, bought some rain boots, and I'll show you this, okay?
Let me know if you guys think I can rock some steel-toe boots. This is what true men look like. And what's funny is, if you've not noticed, my voice is a little bit deeper. It's because it wasn't until I actually bought some steel-toe boots that
I became a full man. Like, I'm already a very hairy guy. I'm a Chewbacca. I'm not afraid to admit it. Like, there was more hair on my body after this. Like, my chest was just a bush. That's all it was. Okay. So I went and got these rain boots. All right. And steel toe rain boots. And I go to this wedding and I had no option but to back my car into this tent. And there was a lake right next to the tent. Scariest moment of my life was like my boot kind of got caught into the floorboard, and I started going forward towards the lake, almost drove into a lake. And it was just like a few weeks ago, a Fortune 500 company CEO, she died. That the same exact thing happened. She was at a lake house. She backed in and she backed in too far and she drowned. That is true story. And that wedding took a lot out of me. It really, really, really did. So, I was thinking of that, the ironic song. It's like rain on your wedding day. That song goes so hard in the paint. I love it. But it's tough. It's tough. Yeah, James was team JD5. I think James Jordan was also a big Jaden believer. Yeah, Bryce Underwood, definitely that guy. So there you go.
Yeah. I thought I was going to get to meet Brian Turner, BT, known on PHL at the spring game. So I was like, hey, text me if you're at the game. Text me. And he was like, I'm not there. At a bunch of PHL legends, they didn't show up. William was supposed to be coming in from North Carolina, the home of Petey Pablo, the home of Michael Jordan, the home of vinegar-based barbecue sauce.
Okay.
Didn't show.
Said he had a sick niece.
That happens. I was sad, though. I was sad.
Here's Todd. Technically, Brooklyn is on the line. Please.
If you ask anyone, where's Michael Jordan from? They'll tell you. Tar Heel Nation. What's TMI?
Now, that'll do it for me. I'm about to go watch the Pellies. Let's go, Pels.
All right. I do want to say something, all right?
like, I'm not gonna say I'm better than anyone doing YouTube. I'm not. But I hate it when people do arguments where, like, it's, and I'm probably guilty of this myself, okay? So there was a lot of people that were, like, victory lapping Arch Manning's spring game performance, all right? So Arch Manning went out in the spring game and played really well, all right? And my view on Arch Manning always remained the same. I never thought he was just some two- or three-star recruit with the last name. The thing that never made sense to me, all right, is every single recruiting service having him the number one rated player. That does not make any sense to me. That the film did not back that up. And I am a huge Peyton Manning fan. I've said that 1,000 times. I got a Peyton Manning sticker on my microphone stand right here. Okay, got to meet Peyton last year. You know, the Manning family, even though they don't like LSU or whatever, I'm always going to be a fan of them. But Arch Manning had no business being like a Trevor Lawrence level recruit. That made no sense. That's all I said, and anyone with a pulse said. Now, are there a lot of people out there who said Arch Manning would be a three-star recruit without the Manning last name? Sure. Sure. But for me, he was always like a top 100 four-star level recruit. There were times where I was like, okay, this looks like a three-star. Like, with the level of competition, him being way bigger than some of his offensive linemen. Yeah. But, like, one spring game performance in a year where he's not even going to play is very interesting. What I would say about the Texas situation, though, is I just – and I will say this. I've said this about him as a recruit. I've said this about him on Twitter. I'm blown back on this plenty of times, all right? And once again, I'm not the only person that has said this, but I do not understand the Quinn Ewers hype. It has always been out of control, always. Is Quinn Ewers a really good SEC quarterback? Yes. I will go so far as saying that his performance versus Washington was very underrated. It was actually really freaking good. He rose his level of play. Not only as a thrower, but as a runner. But is he so much better than Arch Manning? I'm not sure. I am not sure. Okay. So BT believes LSU is going to lose to Corian Moore. I'm not going to put that out there. I think we're going to hold on to him. I do. I really, really, really do. Once again, no insight. I just think to come to LSU, if you're a kid and you idolize Odell Beckham Jr., and they honestly play very similar, and Bryce Underwood, your friend that you helped recruit to LSU, is going to LSU, I understand going to Texas playing for Colin Simmons, playing with Colin Simmons would be great, but Caden Durham is at LSU. I think DeCorian Moore is going to go to LSU. I understand Texas is all the rage. I know Oregon and Ohio State are going to be in it in the end, and Oregon and Ohio State is, in particular Ohio State, really good wide receiver schools. But one thing that is not discussed is the target competition for DeCorian Moore going into next year as a true freshman at LSU will probably be the most open it's been in a while. Now, we said that going into this last year, and we saw Kyren Lacy emerge. So there will be someone else that emerges. It just always happens at LSU. But, you know, Kyren's going to go pro. He'll be a first-round or second-round pick next year. And there will be plenty of targets vacated. So there you go. Now, Chances makes a good point. If Quinn Ewers doesn't get hurt, he beats Alabama twice. True. True. Because Alabama played like crap in Austin, and Ewers was amazing versus Alabama. But I think we can all agree that Alabama was in a unique position with a really good play caller who probably knows Nick Saban better than anyone. And out-coach Nick. You know, they for the first game, they had Gary Patterson on their sideline, scout that game for over a year. They had him as an analyst. And then the second game, you know, they just outplayed him. They were just that good. So, yeah, you know, yours just played well in the biggest games. It's just all the other games. I mean, if you watch any AD Mitchell tape, it's amazing how much Quinn Ewers missed him last year. And I don't think AD is as good of an NFL prospect as they put him out there to be. But still, now, that'll do it to me. Big shout out to Boris, man. Goes a long way. The Super Chats, man, you and Jared have always held it down for me. I really appreciate that. James, thank you so much. This went a long way. I appreciate you, as did Julie. Julie, you've become one of my really good friends. I appreciate you guys. Okay. Now, don't forget, if there is ever a time, a passion project, okay, check out my high school grades on Patreon. Please go sign up. Patreon.com/LSU football. If you believe in what I'm doing here, join us on Patreon. $9.99 tier gets you access to our Discord where we chat all LSU sports, including LSU softball. Taylor Pleasants. We had Skipper in there complaining about the home plate umpire. So we'll be ramping up some of our softball stuff as they make a push towards the national championship. And this is just the truth. You know, at LSU, if you're not winning, it's just hard to talk about you. I do want to shout out LSU baseball finding a way to get a series win this weekend. Todd, thank you for the super. I appreciate you. And Todd was the one who wanted to talk baseball a little bit earlier. I know they lost a close one in game two, but game three to one, 6-2. You know, they were down 2-0 in that one, and they tied it up and obviously ran away with it. Yeah, Missouri. They are the worst program in the SEC when it comes to baseball. So what? We'll desperately take this series win, and hopefully we get something really spicy going towards SEC tournament time. But coming off a sweep versus Tennessee, it feels really, really good to get a series win. And shout out to the LSU Tiger Fighting Jay Johnson baseball team. So there you go. Todd, thank you for the super. And there you go. You got your baseball chatter. They will play Nichols State on Tuesday at 6:30. Just a heads up, we will probably move our live stream time to adapt around this Nichols game. I do think this will actually be watched quite a bit because, well, Nichols beat us last year. I watched that full game. Nichols had Brooks Robinson at third base, Ozzie Smith at shortstop, Todd Kent at second. I mean, their fielding in that game was SportsCenter top 10. They made at least three SportsCenter top 10 plays defensively. So they upset us last year. Hopefully we're able to not return the favor. We're going to be favored, but hopefully we are able to bounce back and win. There you go. I'm not throwing shit. So Todd, are you from Brooklyn? Is that why you're so dead set? That Michael Jordan is from Brooklyn. Okay. Born in Cumberland Hospital in Brooklyn, New York. Now, yeah, Pegasus, on Thursday, we probably won't do a live show. I'll probably do something on my NFL channel, and I might just simulcast it here.
We'll probably do like a pre-draft show and then move it over to the NFL channel. Trying to grow that thing.
Now, here's what I want to do. Okay, I want everyone to listen really closely.
All right.
I'm not gonna say I was close to this man, but one of the most nervous I have ever been was at the SEC tournament in Nashville. Okay. So I went to SEC tournament basketball, Nashville, and I couldn't freaking believe it. There's Dick Vitale. Dick Vitale was at the tournament calling games. Dickie V, I've seen him a gazillion times. I knew I was going to see him at the tournament. I've never met Dickie V. But little did I know that Howie Schwab from Stump the Schwab would be there. So I was a younger, mid-20s, and I went up to Howie Schwab, okay? And I was nervous as hell. I loved Stump the Schwab. Loved Stump the Schwab, okay? It was my favorite show because I was a sports trivia guy. And there's little kids in our neighborhood that will knock on my door to do sports trivia challenges. Shout out Elijah, Zion, the Drafts, and Jermel and the whole crew. So there's Schwab. This is a photo from Tim Brando. And that's how it's to the far right in a LaDainian Tomlinson jersey on brand right there. This man did a ton of radio segments with me after meeting him at the SEC tournament. I did not have a big radio show. I was just some mid-20 guy who hosted a small radio show. And this dude was such an entertaining radio guest. So it was crazy. I was like, okay, look, there's Dick Vitale. Didn't care. Howie Schwab and Stuart Scott, Stump the Schwab, my two favorite ESPNers, are now gone. And it's tough because Chris Mortensen was one of my favorite ESPNers who gave a young me an interview. Gone. John Clayton, I got to work the Super Bowl in New Orleans. By far the most gracious celebrity that I was with that week. Gone. So, tough week for me. I grew up wanting to be on ESPN. I've been lucky to be on ESPN. Not in a full-time capacity, but my goal is still to one day do national sports media. Howie Schwab, man, I freaking love that guy. I freaking loved that man. Dead at only 63 years of age. Crazy, 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 crazy stuff. You know, John Saunders was another ESPNer I loved. Met him in New York City when I was very little. I say very little, it's like in middle school. He's also gone. So my favorite ESPNers, gone. I really like... A lot of those guys were literally my favorite. So, hate it. Hate it. Stump the Schwab. They should bring it back. Some form of an ESPN trivia show would be cool. But that's not here nor there. And this live stream is dedicated to you, Howie. It is! Power. Hour. LSU. Boom! National sports media. I'm putting it out there. It's only April. It's going to happen for your boy. I'll be on some major site somewhere. And tonight, we're doing barbecue chicken. Let's go.